say the game is getting old. Monday morning and your coffee's cold. Life is not what you wanted to be.
Hello everyone, welcome to New Direction. My name's Jay Izzo, and oh man, we're back. 2026. We're back 360 some odd shows. We've done starting another year of reading books, interviewing authors. This year, I'm going to just tell you, it's going to be a little bit different than what we've done the last 8-9 years doing this show. Not only am I going to do authors, I'm actually going to be interviewing people without books, leaders, talking about purpose and leadership and direction and success. And I want to interview more people in that leadership space to sit down with them and talk with them. Some people are going to be in studio, believe it or not, and we're going to be having those conversations. So expect some differences in a new direction for 2026, just because we felt like we should mix it up and change things up. I love the books. I love to read. 700 books read in the last, 9-10 years, 700-800 books. I don't even know what it is now. I love doing that. But we're always trying to improve the show, and that's what we're going to do, is try to make the show better. But I got to tell you, we have a great guest. He's been on here before. His name's Brian Bureau. The book is called Beyond Success. You might remember him from a previous book that he did with us. And this is the 15 Secrets to Effective Leadership and Life, based on legendary coach John Wooden's Pyramid of Success. And you go, why would you be doing this book? Because this book's been out for a while. Why would you be doing this book in as the first book of January? And I will tell you why. I live in a state of North Carolina, which is a basketball heavy state. I live in a city of Raleigh that has North Carolina State University. 20 some odd miles down the road, I've got Duke University. 20 some odd miles down the road, I've got University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, the Tar Heels. So I've got Blue Devils, Wolfpack, Tar Heels. I've got all of these colleges and universities, Campbell, Davidson, all over around here. And John Wooden is a legend. And, you know, I have to be honest with you, spending break away, I learned something. You know, I don't improve much watching the news. I don't improve myself at all watching the news. I find myself actually devolving as I watch the news. And a lot of people say, well, you can't learn anything from sports. I am going to vehemently disagree with you. And I'm going to give you an example. The other night, the last football game of the season in the NFL, there was the Pittsburgh Steelers and Baltimore Ravens were playing with each other, against each other. And the team that won is going to make the playoffs. And the kicker for the Baltimore Ravens has an opportunity to win the game. Now, it is a 44-yard field goal, and he is rarely ever misses a field goal, especially from that distance. It's basically a chip shot for him. And he missed. Can I tell you, there are a lot of life lessons in there that I got from that game. Because how many times have I missed the chip shot? Right? I've practiced, I've done everything, but I missed out. And then the next question is, what are you going to do next with that? I'm never going to get that from the news. I'm never going to have that thought process. And Coach Wooden, you know, won 10 national championships as a basketball coach. But that wasn't his greatest feat. His greatest feat was pouring himself into learning everything that he could so that he could mentor and lead others to greatness. Isn't that what we're kind of all called to do? Yeah, I think so too. And we don't spend enough time probably digging into ourselves and how we can improve because our lives are so busy and we're scrolling through social media feeds aimlessly, wandering, you know, some of us searching for something. And the fact of the matter is everything is right in front of us if we are willing to just dig and learn. And not just learn, because learning is empty if you don't apply it. You got to put in the work with it. And so that's why I chose this book. There's some of the reasons beyond success. The 15 Secrets of Effective Leadership in Life based on Coach John Wooden's Pyramid of Success. And we're going to dig into that with Brian. So let's do that. Before we do that, I want to introduce you to him because he's a really cool dude. I really like him a lot. We're not brothers, but I would like to be if he would take me as part of his family. Brian Biro is a world-class motivational speaker and author. He's known as America's Breakthrough Speaker, as Coach Brian's clients included companies such as Starbucks, Southwest Airlines, Microsoft, Kaiser Permanente, who hire him to help build their teams and keep them focused on successful business strategies. He combines practical, actionable, real-world advice with stories from his own life that illustrate how to motivate yourself and inspire those around you. We're going to be doing this book, but his book that we did together last year was Lessons from the Legends, New Applications from the Timeless Wisdom of John Wooden and Pat Summitt. And it terribly insightful. What a practical guide. But this is an awesome book that he did years ago, but it's timeless. It's so amazing. He's a remarkable author and speaker whose message reflects his energy, excitement, and joy. So ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show and welcome back, my friend, Brian Biro. Welcome back, brother.
Hey, it's so great to be with you and kick off this new year. And I love your thoughts about, you know, when we hear, we forget, when we see, we remember, we do, we understand. And that's really about applying the lessons that you learn. And you're exactly right. You can know a lot, but it's not what you know. It's doing what you know.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. So let's dig into this. By the way, the foreword is by Coach John Wooden before he passed away. You got a foreword by him, which I thought was just really cool to just read his gentleness, his kindness, his vision. And clearly he had a great love for you as well. That was terribly enjoyable. I'm going to jump into chapter one, which is titled Pygmalion, Expectations and Reality. And here's the thing about Brian, about expectations. Sometimes what we do with that word is as an employer or as a boss or as a parent, we go, well, I expect you to do this. I expect you to do that. I shouldn't have to praise you. You're just doing your job, right? But this isn't what we mean when we say in the Pygmalion effect expectations. Let's reopen our other people's minds about when we say the Pygmalion effect and expectation and reality, what are we really saying?
You know, it's probably, Jay, one of the most incredibly important elements for anyone who is a leader. And everyone is a leader. We're all self-leaders. If you're a parent, I hope you see yourself as a leader. If you're on a team, you're teaching people a way to deal with life, with uncertainty, with doubt. So the Pygmalion effect comes from the ancient Greek myth about Pygmalion. And the concept, the story is that Pygmalion was well-liked by all the people in the island of Cyprus where he lived. He was kind, he was thoughtful, he was generous, but in his own personal life, he was very lonely. So one day in the depths of his loneliness, he decided, I just got to break out. I got to break through. I got to do something different. So he poured himself into a project. He happened to be a great artist. The guy was an all-around whiz kid. And he set to work to create a sculpture that was bringing out every essence of what was important to him, his dreams, his hopes, his aspirations, his inspirations. The legend says he worked for 3 days and three nights, almost nonstop, until finally he had finished. And he stood back and he looked at what he had created. And what stood before him was no longer a block of clay. What stood before him was a statue of a woman. And it was so much the essence of Pygmalion's dreams, his hopes, his aspirations, his highest expectations, that as he looked at what he created, the legend says he fell in love. He lost his heart. Well, at that moment, the goddess of love, Aphrodite, happened to be looking down on him and go, you know, this Pygmalion, good dude. Let's help him out this one time. So she descended down to earth invisibly, pulled out an invisible magical bow and arrow, let fly with an arrow that went straight into the heart of the stone sculpture. Well, the legend says that the instant that the arrow hit the stone, transformation occurred. And the stone turned into a living, breathing woman whose name was Galatea. Galatea opened her eyes. She saw Piggy. Piggy saw her. And they fell in love and they lived happily ever after. Now, I don't know if that's a true story or not, Jay, but I know that the principle that it introduces, the Pygmalion effect, is the way that we have the greatest impact on all the people in our lives, but especially those that we have the most influence on. And what it says is that our thoughts, our beliefs, our the way we see people is actually magnetic, that we're actually pulling them in the directional way we see them, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's neutral. Now, the idea has been around forever, and I studied psychology at Stanford 2 years after they invented the wheel, so it was a long time ago. And we studied it then, but nobody had ever really found out, is it real, or is it just a convenient explanation? And then a researcher from Harvard by the name of Robert Rosenthal came along and said, I'm going to find out. And he went into 25 elementary schools in the first grade classrooms, and he informed the teachers as an educational researcher that he had developed a test for first graders that would identify for the teachers something you'd love to know about people you're bringing into your team. It would identify what he called spurters. And a spurter was a child with great potential, but who had not really accessed it yet, sort of an underperformer. So he administered the test over 500 kids, 25 different schools, gathered up the results. 2 weeks later, came in and told the teachers the results. Said Jay's a spurter, Mary's a spurter, Kelsey's a spurter. Told the teacher who had scored as spurters. Well, guess what? It was all a fake. He had never graded anything. What he had done was administered a very basic first grade intelligence test, gathered up the results, burned them, never looked at them. So completely at random, he made up who the spurters were to tell the teachers. Well, guess what happened? Over 95% of those children randomly selected as spurters spurted. They rose to the tops of their class and they stayed there. And then the big question is why? Who changed? And it was clear it was the teachers. The teachers no longer looked at Jay as Jay. When they looked at Jay, they saw something different. They saw a spurter. It was a brilliant study. Those kids stayed at the tops of their class, but Rosenthal got sued for it. And guess who sued him? The parents of the other kids. The teachers taught them as if they weren't spurters. So the Pygmalion effect is an incredibly powerful principle that right. We need to put work and understand that as we're looking at people, if we look for their weaknesses, we'll bring them out. What we focus on is what we create. In my own life, and I'm sure, Jay, you probably have a story that parallel to mine. I had a high school counselor. His name was Mr. Anderson. He was the cool teacher. We liked this guy. He was funny. He was playful. He believed in us. And we just all loved him. We would have run through a wall for him. One day in the ninth grade, he pulls me into his office, and he was really serious, which was not his style. He was always had a twinkle in his eye. He set me in a chair. He stood over me, crossed his arms. He looked down at me in silence for a while, and I'm thinking, what did I do? And then he said, Brian, a student like you only comes along once every 10 or 15 years. Now, Jay, I got to tell you, when he said it, it's real likely he meant it bad more than he meant it good. Because at that time, all I really cared about was I wanted everybody to like me. I was the right. class clown. I was screwing around. I was doing enough, but not trying my best. And somehow, as a positive Pygmalion, he saw in me which I was terrified to see in myself. And the next words he said were some of the most powerful Pygmalion words anybody's ever brought to me. He said, Brian, there's something special in you. Stop wasting it, son. He said, every day's a gift, but you're the only one who can open your gift. And son, you haven't opened one of them. Make each day your masterpiece. Stop being afraid to be who you are. And here's the power that every one of us has as Pygmalion. Had he not said those words to me at that time when I was a 15-year-old kid, I never would have turned myself around that allowed me to get accepted into Stanford. Going to Stanford led me to my career as a coach. Coaching led me to my wife, to my children, to my grandchildren, to Coach Jay's show today. That's the impact that we have by the way that we view people. And so the Pygmalion effect is not a judgment that you're this and you better do it my way. My expectation is you better do your job right. It's understanding the impact we have on how we look at people. Mm. Are we easy to impress and hard to offend? Mm. If we become if we really live that, we're going to not only live a happy life, but we're going to have a tremendous impact on people. Being, you know, truly excited about people means that you're looking for the best of which they're capable. And it's not about comparison. That's really an important key. You know, Coach Wooden, if there's one principle more than any other that he lived, it's not to be comparing yourself to other people, but to compare yourself only to your own, only what you know inside, your own controllables. And that's what he taught every single day.
You know, as you're telling the story, of course, you know, there are so many people that came to my mind that did this with me too. In fact, I'm thinking about them now as I'm going through growing up and, you know, even in college when I was messing up my first semester as a freshman, right? I mean, I was a mess and still thinking about Dr. Tom Johnson, who saw something in me that I didn't even see in myself. And I think my challenge this year to leaders out there is this: what are you seeing in your people? Right? I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, are you really seeing potential? Are you seeing what they could be? Or are you just taking for granted, this is what I see and I'm just going to treat them that way?
Yeah. You know, and one of the cornerstone principles of vision that ties into the Pygmalion is what you focus on is what you create.
Right.
So how many of us focus more just within our own selves? Because as much as we are Pygmalion to others, we're first of all a Pygmalion to ourselves. When we look in the mirror, do we see our pimples or our possibilities? Do we see our limits or all the things we have that we can love? All right. And so being a positive Pygmalion is not just, you know, fluffy stuff. Right. It's looking for that possibility in them, looking for their strengths more than their weaknesses. You don't pretend there aren't weaknesses.
Right.
All right. But what you do is you focus on what they really can do. The job of a positive Pygmalion and the job of every leader you're going to have on the show in 2026. And most of my work is speaking to leadership groups. Of course, I believe everybody's a leader, so it's every group. But every single one of them, I believe that our job more than any other foundationally is to help the people that we lead, that we serve, that we love to know they're important, to know they're significant, to know that they matter. Because when people feel that they matter, when people feel important, they rise to that, oh yeah, spirit we had when we were kids. Mm. When people feel unimportant, they fall to that, oh no, I'm not going there for spirit. And so that is the most, any great coach, any great leader, as we've talked about this Pygmalion effect to start this show, I know you're gonna see that they are positive Pygmalions, yeah. That they look for the best. You know, Coach Wooden was a person who understood that everyone has their role. You know, and here's what's amazing when you think about it, and you'll know this, Jay. In Coach Wooden's day, and the way he coached, he only really played about 7 players from a team of 14 or 15 players. So only 7 really got in games. Even if they were way ahead, maybe one other player would get in. So half his team never got on the floor. In at least for a long time, and maybe they got in their senior year. But everyone loved playing there. Everyone felt important. Everyone felt the role. And he kind of defined it this way. He liked to use the metaphor of a team as like an automobile. He said, you may have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Bill Walton. They're the engine. But you know what? That engine ain't going to work if there aren't wheels. And guess what? Those wheels are going to fall off if you don't have lug nuts. So what's more important? Well, they're all important. And if you as a leader keep in mind that your job is to help the people that you lead, serve, and love to know they're important, then you have a new direction as a leader. That's the one that's going to create the greatest results because you cannot do it alone.
I think there has something honestly been lost in business today where we have focused so much on the results that we have stopped focusing on the people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I don't think people understand that the fastest way to production, profitability, and excellence is the people that you have.
Every single business is in the same business. You're in the people business. It's how you grow and help others grow that'll determine how far you can go. You know, here's a most beautiful, simple, clear support to what you just said. 27 years at UCLA, the greatest of them all. I mean, if you ask Dean Smith, they actually asked Dean Smith, you know, who was the greatest coach? And he laughed at the person who answered, are you kidding? He said, we all wanted to be Coach Wooden.
Yep.
Coach K, who I had a chance to meet and talk to, you know, even though he came from a different realm, Coach Wooden was the man. He never said the words winning or losing to his players. 27 years, never said the words. Did he want to win? Oh, yeah. But what he wanted more was for them to focus on controlling their controllables, their effort, their energy, their attitude, their focus on the team. And those are the things that he sought to reward. Those are the things that he sought to appreciate. Those were the things that he looked for. He was constantly, see, to be a truly positive Pygmalion, you want to acknowledge and appreciate people for their effort and their energy, not just their results. Because guess what? How many of us have gone after a goal? We worked harder than we've ever worked. We did better than we'd ever done, and we did not reach the goal.
Yeah.
Every one of us. Because where do goals come from? I will show you. Joop, joop, joop. We invent them.
Right.
Goals are imagination. Goals are vision. They may be, you know, kind of built up through some, you know, mathematics, but ultimately we make them up. So if you only wait to acknowledge people for their results, you're going to take people for granted. But when you focus on their effort, their energy, their attitude, their growth, their improvement, their hustle, they're going to create more results. Because that, see, what Coach Wooden wanted, and this is all of my work as a speaker, is about controlling three controllables. The first is to shape your future. And that the controllable of vision is a controllable. You've got to see it before you can be it. That's where the Pygmalion effect comes in, whether it's to others or self. The second is to energize and engage your team, which, of course, before you can energize and engage your team, who must you energize and engage? Yourself. Starts on the inside, moves to the outside. One of the reasons why you've done 364 shows and why your shows are so, so highly appreciated is because your energy. Your energy is contagious. And the way you introduce is, and well, here comes Brian Barrow. He's been a speaker. You light up this, you light it up. You lift it up because that energy is contagious. And energy is a choice. It is a controllable. All right. And the third is to build people, build teams, and build relationships. Because every single business is a people business. Now, here's the distinction, and you get it because the way you just introduced this. You want results, but to get results, you need to focus on what you control to move towards those results. You focus on what you put in for the things that you want to come out. If you focus on the results, you forget about people. You forget about what it takes to get there. And so that's really the key distinction. Now, the beautiful part of that, I call it breakthrough leadership. Focusing on shape your future, energize, engage your team, build people, teams, and relationships. You're going to start to generate breakthrough results. And breakthrough results are things that when you look back and say, it's kind of a breakthrough result is 360 some odd shows. When you did the first show, you were thinking, no way am I going to do 360 some odd shows. Well, that's crazy. But you've done it. That's a breakthrough result. And as you start to generate those by focusing on what you put in, eventually, as it did for Coach Wooden, breakthrough leadership moves from the outside and what you do to the inside and who you are. And that's a model of personal excellence, integrity, accountability, and humility. That's my favorite word of all, humility. I don't know if I can put this thing up here.
Yeah.
All right. Coach Wooden was incredibly humble. And humble doesn't mean you're not confident. So many people these days, we've lost sight of one of the reasons why I think we're forgetting about people is somewhere along the line, some people started thinking that being humble was weak. Being humble meant you couldn't be confident. Could not be further from the truth. You can be incredibly humble and incredibly confident because being humble doesn't mean you think less of yourself. It means you think of yourself less. But the reason why humility is so crucial to leadership, to the Pygmalion effect, Jay, you know this, only if you're humble are you a lifelong learner. Because only if you're humble would you rather make a mistake and learn something than pretend you're always right. And therefore, when you're humble, you're focused on your character rather than your reputation. Because your character is who you are. Reputation, only what others think you are. And if you stay with that focus, your character and your reputation will merge.
His name is Brian Barrow. The book is called Beyond Success, the 15 Secrets of Effective Leadership in Life, based on Coach John Wynn's Pyramid of Success. You're listening to him here on A New Direction. Hey, folks, Linda Craft Team Realtors, they've been with us from the very, 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 very beginning. You know what? They help people transition in life. And you say, how do they do that? Well, every place you ever lived has been a life transition. And you know what? They've helped thousands of people do that successfully by taking the stress out of it for them and making that transition easier. So listen, when you're ready to buy or sell a home, no matter where you live, they can recommend absolutely the best person out there. Check them out, lindacraft.com, LindaCraft.com. And we're back here on A New Direction with my friend Brian Biro. His book, Beyond Success, 15 Secrets to Effective Leadership in Life, based on legendary Coach John Wooden's Pyramid of Success. You know, I could do a whole show on the Pygmalion Effect. If we wanted to, I could do it, but I'm not going to do that. So I thought we would move on here to the second chapter, which is vision, knowing what's important. And Coach Wooden had a 7-point creed: be true to yourself, make friendship an art, make each day your masterpiece, build a shelter against a rainy day, help others, drink deeply from good books, pray for guidance, and give thanks for your blessings every day, is what he did. And then, but he had three stages of the vision process. Now, I was told, I think it was you, it may have been Lynn Guerin, I'm not sure who told me, but that 7-point creed, I was told, was given to him by his father, I think, that he kept in his wallet the whole time. And so I was wondering if that was true. And then in talking about the three-stage vision process of defining the vision, living the vision, is something I want to discuss with you, because the 7-point creed that he had, I don't know if you told me this or Lynn Guerin, who also knew, who has been on the show.
Coach Jay, I'm so sorry. I had a power outage. All of a sudden, boom.
You're fine. I've just talked.
I had a feeling I'd be fine, but I do apologize.
I know. I just talked as if you were here. I just talked as if you were here, so we're good.
I think it was planned so we could talk about controlling our controllables. That was an uncontrollable.
Yeah. Listen, I saw you freeze up and disappear, and I was just like, oh, well, okay, well, we'll just move on. He'll come back. He'll come back. We'll be all right. I mean, I could talk. So I mean, God did give me a gift for gab. So I'm good. I could just move right on. John Wooden's 7-point creed talked about vision, knowing what's important. I think it was you. Maybe it was Lynn Guerin. Maybe it was both. Because Lynn's been on the show because he knew Coach Wooden as well. And I think one of you said to me that 7-point creed, be true to yourself, etc. That it was given to him by his dad,
I think, when he was 8 years old,
and he had it in a piece of paper that was in his wallet
all his life. From the age of 8 till when he passed away at 99 and a half, he always had it. Did wear out eventually, so he had to redo it, but he had that for all of that time. You know, I have a fun, quick little story about John Wooden to genuinely show the humility of the man and why it's such a vital key to leadership. You're going to die on this one. Nobody knows this one. This is a really good one. Coach Wooden was obviously also a great athlete. He was the NCAA Player of the Year in the 30s. When basketball was, you know, typical basketball score in those days was like 14 to 12.
Yeah, right.
Because after every basket, there was a center jump in those days, and it was slow. You know, it was like Coach Smith's four corners and no shot clock. But he was a great athlete, and he was great at baseball, great at basketball. He didn't really golf very much, but in 1939, he went golfing at the South Bend Municipal Golf Course, which is no longer there anymore, in Indiana. He was an Indiana kid. Well, his family did not know this until he had passed away, and they were clearing out drawers and stuff. They pulled out a scorecard from playing golf that day. He shot a 71. He had two holes in one in 18 holes. That's been done maybe, I don't know, 5-6 times in recorded history. But here's the most, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, if I got 4 feet from a golden one, I'm not going to, you know, fly banners across. Yeah. He never told anyone. He never told. The only way they found it was the signed golf card. He never told his family. That really showed that he was focused on not what everybody else thought of him, but what he put into every day.
Wow. The vision part of it, right? His three-stage vision process, define, live it, communicate it, and never compare yourself to other people. Talk about, you know, knowing, how do we get there? I think there's a problem we have with vision is because I coach a lot of leaders, and a lot of leaders want to think they have vision, but they really don't communicate the vision. It's not, I don't know that it's always lived out, and I don't think it's very clearly defined. How do we help people kind of get there?
Well, a couple of things that you can do, one from Coach Wood and one from just life experience, is that we so often, first of all, you need to understand what people's vision is before you can help them improve their vision. Example, I was a United States swimming coach. I had many athletes who got in the habit of swimming with a wide arm carriage in relation to their body line. Mm. Now, that's not good in swimming. Where you want to pull is under the center line of your body, where you have maximum power, maximum balance. But, Jay, if I said to a swimmer who I can clearly see is pulling way outside their body, and I said to him, pull down the center line of your body, guess what they answer back to me every single time?
I can't.
No, I am.
Oh, they think they are.
They think they're doing it correctly. Oh. See, because it feels normal, because that's the habit they've gotten into. So it really does me no good as a coach to say to that athlete, pull down the center line of your body, because they think they are. In fact, it does me harm. Because they look at me and think, what's wrong with coach? I'm doing this. Can't he see? He needs new glasses. Mm-hmm. But I still want to help him, or I want to help me if I'm the one who's pulling outside. So I had to use what I call the principle of exaggeration. And I did this hundreds of times, and Coach Wooden did it. And any coach who really starts by paying attention to what do they see as their vision, I would say to that person who's pulling way outside of their body, when your right hand hits the water, pull it as far across your body to the left as you can, way over there. With your left hand, go way over there. Now, as soon as I say it to that person who's been swimming with a wide arm carriage, guess where they pull? Right down the middle. How does it feel? Completely weird.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what they must feel to change. If it feels normal, we're not changing enough, and we'll slide right back. So one of the ways that we help with vision is, number one, what do they really see? It took me a while to figure that out, because I didn't realize they were thinking, I am. But then I heard it, I am, I am, I am. Well, guess what? It's not that they don't want to see what they're doing. It's what they don't see what they're doing.
Right.
All right. And then the second thing that you can do, and Coach Wooden was brilliant about this. He used what we call the sandwich method for correcting, for helping people see and change. And that was, most of us, especially in the West, we're conditioned to tell people what they're doing wrong. But what you focus on is what you create. And in the first chapter of Beyond Success, I know you probably really enjoyed the story about Allison, my swimmer. 8 years in a row, I told her, one of these days, you're not going to die. And guess what? All she got from that was, I'm going to die. One time, 8 years later, I said to her, finish like you did your warm-up sprint. You were awesome. Remember? And she had the most magnificent breakthrough. So we have to shift from pointing out what they're doing wrong. Now, it's important because, as we just learned, they don't know what they're doing necessarily. But he used the sandwich effects. Put simply, he would first show them the right way, give them a model, a vision of the correct way to do something. Then he would show them what they're doing. Clearly, you know, not judgmentally, not saying you're screwing up. This is what you're doing. And then he'd finish by showing the right way again. And so it was 2-to-1 ratio, always starting with the correct vision, clarifying what they're doing, finish with the correct vision. What a magnificent way to get ego out of the equation and to have constant improvement.
Yeah, do you think that we're not always very clear on defining what what the vision is, or do you think it is that we really just don't understand what vision is?
I think a couple of things. Number one is you're right. We tend to get too complicated about vision. You know, one of the cornerstones of a great vision is keep it simple. You know, right. The KISS principle, keep it simple, superstar. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to get, you know, an organization, again, a team to focus on a common vision, it's got to be simple. How many vision statements from organizations? You'll be fun as you go through this year and talk with leaders. What's your vision statement? And then find out how many of your team can actually tell you you have a vision statement.
Right.
And I will promise you, if there's more than 10 words, none of them will. You know, the people who wrote it will. Right. So starting place is keep it simple. Where are we going? It can change. You can alter it. You can redo it. But keep it simple so that you can then do, and this was the other genius of Coach Wooden and also of Coach, every great coach I've ever known, Coach K, consistently reinforce it. Right. You know, Coach Wooden didn't say, here's the definition of success. Success is peace of mind. It comes from knowing and giving the best of what you're capable. He didn't say it once. He said it every single day. Hmm. He said it multiple times a day. And so it became clear what that vision was. Too often we may have a wonderful vision, but we say it once and it's gone.
Right.
It is not drummed in until it's so real. That was a real cornerstone.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely dead right on this, is that we've overcomplicated the vision, and the vision does not have to be that complicated. And I think there's been so many people who have said things like, you know, you got to include this and you got to include that and you got to include this and you got to include that. And it's got to be clever. And, you know, we've got to encompass all these other things, but I think you're right. I think we've made it so complicated and so convoluted that it just needs to be simple, that we can all live very easily and that we can all communicate with the same language.
You know, I have a really firsthand, heartfelt example of this in my corporate career. So I've had three careers. First as a U.S. swimming coach. Then I became a vice president of a couple of companies. One was a very large training company. And we were floundering all over the place, right? And so I thought, I got this great idea. We got to have a great vision statement. So I wrote a vision statement. It was poetic. It was beautiful. It was Shakespearean, right? And nobody could get anything from it. So I brought the team together and said, okay, you know, here's what I had in mind. Let's make it better. Well, I think the only word they kept was we. Of all, everything else was out the window. But this was, Jay, this was 35 years ago, 37 years ago. And our vision statement became, we are champions of empowerment. Hmm. We're a company that we're training leaders and training, doing team building training. We are champions of empowerment.
Yeah.
That was it. And I can promise you that everyone who was on my team in those days, if you ask them what was our vision statement, they would tell you it. But more importantly, it transformed us because it gave us a GPS destination that it allowed our decisions to be simple. Is this in alignment with us being champions of empowerment or isn't? If it isn't, it's out the window. We're going to stay on that course. And we totally transformed. I cannot even tell you how completely our organization improved in every way, in what we got done and how we did it, in the energy in our team from that simple transformation. So the thing I stumbled on was not staying stuck with the thing that I'd written, which I can't even begin to remember. By getting the team involved in creating the vision statement, they owned it.
Yeah.
And by making it simple, so that it was not only simple to say and to remember, but more importantly, it was simple to use as a guide to what decisions we made. So we stayed on track. Mm.
His name's Brian Bierow. The book is entitled Beyond Success, The 15 Secrets of Effective Leadership in Life, based on legendary coach John Wooden's Pyramid of Success. Not very far, but there's so much within these chapters that just affect all of us. And it's just powerful. get it. As a matter of fact, it's available on Audible, by the way. I just want to let you know that there's an Audible version of this book available. And it's really, really well done too. Check it out. So you're listening to him here on A New Direction. Hey folks, I talk about Linda Craft Team Realtors. Let me just say this. I am biased, but I believe it's the best real estate website on the planet, period. I do. And listen, they have everything that you would expect of a real estate website, right? You want to find a listing, you can find listings, right? You want to find out information about the area, you could do all that. Here's where they separate themselves, I believe, okay? One is they went and talked to a child psychologist about how to move with children. They went and found a veterinarian to talk about how do you move with a pet? What's the best way? They talk to professionals about the best way to pack your home. They have this podcast where they literally bring in professionals that affect the entire home buying, selling, moving process called Real Estate Right Now. And you know what? They're constantly on the bleeding edge of technology. Absolutely outstanding. Check them out, lindacraft.com, lindacraft.com. And we're back here on A New Direction with my friend, Brian Biro, book, Beyond Success, The 15 Secrets to Effective Leadership and Life based on legendary coach John Wooden. You know, I was thinking about this as you and I are talking about these first few chapters, and I doubt that we're ever going to get into the actual 15 things, his pyramid. But you know what? I think this is what Coach would say. You know what? You got to know you got to get to these fundamentals first. And if you don't get these fundamental principles down first, all the other details are probably not going to matter to you. You're never going to get to competitive greatness if you don't get these other little things done first. I've never met the man. I've only read, you know, thanks to you and Lynn Guerin and some other folks, I've only read deeply as much as I can. I've watched videos of YouTube videos of him. And it seems to me that what you and I have done here today, and I think we are so far honoring him in the right way, is that we've got to get the fundamentals down first.
And absolutely.
I think we do have to, you know, what are we expecting from our people, right? What is our vision? Are we complicated it? And then I think the chapter 3 on character becomes so important because I don't know that we talk about character anymore. I don't know that we talk about the quality of a person's character. I think we like insulting people because we don't agree with their character, but we don't talk about building our character, building the character in others. And, you know, there's a quote here, I guess, from Coach Wooden that says, "Success is peace of mind that is a direct result of self-satisfaction and knowing you gave your best effort to become the best of which you are capable." Let's talk about character and redefining success, because we typically define success, especially in the business world, based on numbers. And we got it wrong, because the numbers, it's the whole point of the top end of the pyramid. You don't do the top end of the pyramid. The top end of the pyramid is a result of doing everything else.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why he used the pyramid as his, if I don't know the people who see behind me, if you're watching, I have my own pyramid of success that somebody made for me right here. And it's kind of a very useful model, because if you pull out a stone from that pyramid in the middle, it's going to fall down.
Right.
So it starts with the foundation. It starts with those fundamentals. And the whole key is everything that you've been really zeroing in on. The focus of character means you focus on the things you control. Your integrity, your honesty, your humility, your kindness, your team spirit, all those things are what Coach Wooden said. Remember, success is peace of mind. That's internal. That only comes from its essence, saying knowing that you've given the best of what you're capable. That immediately rules out comparison to know who you are, which is what numbers are about. All right. Not to say that numbers aren't important. They are important in the end, but what we need to do is focus to get there. And so I started with a real foundation that Coach Wooden did with his players, that Pat Summitt did with her players, that every great leader must do if they're going to have lasting success. And that is, you focus on what you put in. You focus on those things. You will reward those things. You appreciate those things. You acknowledge and recognize those things which are in your control. And if you do that, then you're going to have the greatest opportunity to move ahead. Here's a great way to look at this. In 1963, before John Wooden coached from 1940 at the college level from about 1945 to 1975 when he retired. 1963, before, in 1964, he won his first national championship. In 1963, he was known as a good coach who could not win the big one. He was the guy who couldn't beat Cal. And the truth is, he didn't see himself as any more of a success after 10 national championships as he did in 1963, because all he wanted to do was focus on everything he did was trying to get better every year. He focused on what he put in. That's where character comes in. Mm. Now, you don't control your reputation. You control your character. Mm. And his favorite quote that he said often, be more concerned with your character than your reputation. Your character is who you are. Reputation only what others think you are. And the pyramid is all about, the blocks are all the key elements in character. Mm. We've gotten too far away from it. That's why I write these books. That's why I teach what I teach, because if you focus on your character, sooner or later, you're going to turn the corner. Sooner or later, those results will come, as long as you keep focusing on the things you do control.
Do you know what I was thinking about in this week, as I was thinking about reading this book and enjoying it and thinking about myself, is, how much time are we working on ourselves, right? I don't know that we spend time thinking about, where am I growing? Not where am I going, where am I growing? Because we are so concerned about, where am I going? What's the next thing I got to do? Where's the next, what's the next level I have to do? Instead of going, where am I growing? And where do I need to grow? And, I don't know if he said it, you said it, a combination of the two, but our success or failure becomes so important to us. We're such a success or fail, right? Society. But here's what was written in your book. You said, when your self-worth comes from others instead of from inside, there is not a more painful experience. There is not more painful experience than humiliation. When that humiliation is self-imposed, the pain is even more intense. And the problem is, we are getting so much of our self-worth in today's society from the outside, and we're not working on us enough to say, no, my self-worth doesn't come from what's outside. Not from the dollars that I've brought in, not from the car that I drive, not from the house that I live in, not from the number of people who follow me on TikTok, right? It has to be internal. And you have to be comfortable there that, even though things have not turned out the way you wanted them to, by gosh, you're doing the right thing. Stay the course in your character.
That's it. No one is a better example than John Wooden. He was the same guy. He always wanted to learn. And see, one of the things I just admired tremendously about you, Coach Jay, is right behind you, is the reading 700 books. Why do you do that? Just to practice your reading? No. You do that to grow. You do that to get a pearl from any one of those books, an idea that you, or a strengthening of a thought that you kind of had that gets better, or something new that you hadn't considered before. Why are you going to expand the show this year? It's to grow. It's to get even more perspective, get more of those pearls in your interviewing. That's the way that John Wooden was. That's the way that Pat Summitt was. Every year, Coach Wooden would focus on trying to learn something new. Even when he had won 9 national championships, he would go to a high school coach's, their camp, sit in and take notes. Can you imagine being a high school coach who's like 30 years old and there's John Wooden who just won his ninth national championship and he's taking notes on what you're teaching? Because he knew we can learn from everyone. And that when we, and it's, there's such a joy in learning. There's such a joy. You know, I've been speaking for 36 years, 2,000 events. Nothing juices me more than a new idea that pops in my head.
Yeah.
You know, and something that I never put together before.
Yeah.
And that can only come on the inside. It can be help. We can receive those ideas from the outside, but it's what we do on the inside that that creates the results. So it's a grassroots. We got to do it at home. We got to start with our kids and make sure our kids are focusing on that definition of success. The success comes from peace of mind, is peace of mind from knowing you've given the best of what you're capable. To acknowledge people for their effort, their energy, their attitude, even more than their results. All right, because what we focus on is what we create. Then bring it into the schools. Really focus on improvement. You know, one of the great joys of my life is, you know, I coached a long time ago, and now my kids who are 60 years old, my swimmers who I coached, what they talk about isn't the neat things they did in their sport as far as their you know, they're reaching the nationals or whatever. What they talk about the life lessons. They talk about, you know, what helped them become good people. And as a result, they've done great things. Coach Wooden's greatest joy as he got later in his life was not the national championships. He was proud of them. It was what the people he worked with had gone on to do in their lives. And he would recite them. And if you sat, when I sat in the living room with John Wooden, if I was there an hour, five different people would call him from his players to his past coaches. If I was there 2 hours, 10 would call him. And that's what he really cared about, was helping people focus on the things that ultimately will make the difference in their lives.
Yeah, I think the thing, Brian, is that somehow in our world, and maybe it's because we live in this I want it now and can get it now society, this Amazon world, but somewhere in there, we've lost perspective. And I know that there's people out there listening to us and watching us that are going, Jay, I have tried so hard. I have been trying to do everything right. I've been trying to do it the right way. And it just feels like it's not working out for me. And I want to just say this, and I think you'll agree with me. Stay the course.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Just
be John Wooden. Remember, John Wooden had 27, he won 10 national championships in 12 years. He didn't win any in the first 27 years that he was a coach. Right, right. He used to say, it's what you learn after you know everything that makes the difference. Coach Summit, you know, people, Coach Summit won 8 national championships. The first 8 she went to, she never won.
Right.
Stay the course. And understand, it's not about the championships. If you stay the course, you're making a difference every day.
Right.
It just may not be as glitzy. It may not have the trophies. It may not have, but you're making a difference because you're impacting people. You're making people really start to look at how they can grow. And that's how we make it work. And eventually, whether the national championships, the, you know, the extra big, you know, extra championships you have in whatever aspect of your life you're doing, those aren't going to matter in the end. What's going to matter in the end is, did you do the best of what you're capable?
Right.
And when you do that, you feel good.
Yeah. This has been a fun show to start the new year with. I've enjoyed having you back on. I know we didn't get real far, but I think we, you know, I have kind of just, you know, there's this thing about faith that John Wooden talks about letting it go. And I've really made a conscious decision that I don't have to get through very far of the book, because what we're going to talk about is going to be right for somebody.
That's exactly right. You know, it's not about covering every page of the book. It's, you know, if we can help somebody get at least one idea, one reinforcement, man, I wasn't looking at it that way. You've made an impact.
Yeah.
And that impact doesn't stop with that person. It goes to who they impact and they impact and they impact. So, that, you know, bless you for the work that you do, and bless you for your hunger and joy in learning
and
growing.
This has been fun, and I've enjoyed you again. And I know we're going to have to do this some more, probably this year. We'll probably have to do it again somewhere else during this time. People want to get a hold of you because they'd like to go I really want to talk to him. I really like to have him come to my, can he come to my business? Can he talk to my people? Can he talk to me as a CEO? Because you know what? I've got it wrong. I've made the minors the majors and the majors the minors, and I need to get recentered. How can they do that?
Simplest way is just go to my website. It's brianbyrow.com. I love what I do. I love it with passion. There's not a day that goes by that I don't say at least 10 times, I love what I do. Yeah. I love to get up in front of people and help them apply the things we talk about to really create breakthroughs in their lives. So go to my website, connect, and we'll make it happen.
It's brianbiro.com is how to get to him. Brian, stay with me. Hey, folks, it's the show. Happy New Year to everyone, and thank you for joining us. Say this to you in this way. You're in control of three things in your life, your attitude, your effort, and resiliency. You know, the fact of the matter is life doesn't always give us what we want, but you know what? The one thing you can't control is your attitude. Take control of it. It's not always easy, but how you respond is within your control. Your effort is tied to your excellence. How excellent will you choose to be today? I know that we all don't have the same amount of energy in the tank every day, but what energy you do have, how excellent will you be with it? And then finally, resiliency. We all get punched in the mouth or punched in the gut and get knocked down, but it's up to you to get back up again. Why? Because you're worth it and we need you on the team. You know what? You have a lot of choices. You chose us. Thank you for doing that. And give us a thumbs up on YouTube. Wherever you listen to the show, give us a 5-star positive review. Please tell your friends. Love to have them come back and listen to A New Direction with Coach Jay. As I say to you all over the world, you know what that is, and I've been doing it now for a long time. Ciao, everybody.
Things are gonna change. You can find the strength to go a different way, yeah. The time has come. Your dreams will take you places you have never been before. Find your passion, find your strength. Don't worry anymore. A new direction. A new direction. Oh. A new direction, a brand new day. Yeah, the time has come for a new direction.